because there's this truck that's parked out the front of the cafe and it blocks the light. Anyway, sooner or later, you know, the truck finishes what it's doing and drives off, and then the cafe's light again. But it's interesting, isn't it, with so much that's happening in our world at the moment, and you know, we've had so much change over the last few years, and then all of a sudden you end up with, you know, a natural disaster like that we've just been watching in Syria and Turkey, and you know, and our hearts go with that. And you think, oh, sometimes there seems to be so much darkness around the world. Who's ever observed that or thought that? I don't think you'd be alone there to think that. But as I thought about that, my mind went to John 1, 4 and 5, and it says this. It says, "In him was life, and that life was light for all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Let me read that again. In him, talking about Jesus, the Word, and the text preceding that many of you will be familiar with. It's this one of the most profound things that you will read in any of the Gospels. You know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And there is actually just so much in those couple of lines that helps us actually almost understand everything. In the beginning was Christ. In the beginning was Jesus. In the beginning was the Son. And that Son has always been there. That Son was with God, and that Son was God. There you go. The Trinity all, or that part of the Trinity all unpacked right there. And then it goes on and explains what that is, and it says, in him, in other words, in Christ, in the Word, in Jesus, was life. And that life was the light to all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So Jesus is the light of the world. His light continues to shine in the darkness, and it will not and it cannot overcome. It's all right, Ali, I'll be right with this. Yeah, it's okay, don't worry. Just like my experience in the cafe, who's sometimes felt like they're living under a bit of a shadow? You've sort of experienced that at different times, like there's a shadow. And I want to encourage you right now, if you're experiencing a dark moment, or you feel like there's perhaps even a shadow on part of your life or part of the world that's around you, let me just speak some life and some light and some truth into that. Let's remember that Christ will always shine in the darkness and will not and cannot be overcome by the darkness. Let me say that again, that the light of Jesus Christ will always shine in the darkness. And one of the things I've experienced about light and dark is the darker something is, the more contrast you experience when light comes into that dark. So you might look around and you might see some stuff going on, but the contrast of the light and the life of Jesus Christ that shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not, will not, and cannot overcome the darkness. In Psalm 23, we read, verse 4, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." And I think this is an incredible little picture of some of the things we go through. Like the 23rd Psalm gives this incredible picture of walking through life, knowing that you have protection, you have guidance, you have sustainability, and as you do that, you walk through different things. And he says, as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, in other words, I'm not walking through death. I'm not walking through ultimate destruction. I am actually walking through things, and there is a shadow of something that is there. And I don't stay there. I've said this a lot of times in the past. I don't camp in the valley of the shadow of death. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. In other words, I walk past the shadow. I walk past the shadow. And I think it's really important to remember when we see darkness that the darkness cannot overcome the light. But you know what can happen though? If you've got a light source and you've got a shadow, you've got to have something between the light and the shadow to create the shadow, don't you? So let's think about this. You might be experiencing some circumstances at the moment that are creating a shadow. There might be stuff going on in this world that's creating a shadow. You might have some relationship challenges around your world that are creating a shadow. You might have some health challenges in your world that are creating a shadow. You might have some financial challenges in your world that are creating a shadow. You might have some disappointment in your world, some things that have happened to you that perhaps are not fair, and they create a shadow. But let's not be intimidated by our circumstances. That shadow, or that thing that has come between us and the light of Jesus, is no more than a shadow. Yesterday, I had to go and pick some things up, and Kyle was with me, and he wanted to drop into this park, this incredible park. It's got a flying fox, and it's got all these really cool things, and so we went there, and he's jumping on the flying fox and going on the other things. And the morning, yesterday morning had been quite overcast. I'd been out riding early, and it was actually wet and damp and overcast. In other words, there was certainly a shadow between me and the sun. And all of a sudden, the cloud had lifted, and the day came out, really warm and nice. And I'm standing out there watching Kyle play on the flying fox and all the things, and I didn't have a hat or anything with me. I hadn't planned to do that. And I'm thinking, I'm going to get sunburned here. So what did I do? I actually started to look for the shadow. I started to look for the shade, and I walked and I stood in the shade to protect me from the ray of the sun. And I think sometimes what's happened is we've got things going on, and we've actually found ourselves, sometimes the light can be confronting, can't it? Sometimes the light can be bright, and we can actually very easily find ourselves, sitting or staying in the shadow because it's a little less confronting. And the light's not coming in. But the thing about that too is sometimes you walk into the shadow when you're out in the sun because it's too bright, and all of a sudden, a breeze comes up or things move a little bit and it gets cold, doesn't it? And then, what do? You move out of the shadow and into the light. I want to encourage you, if you've got things happening in and around you, to you, or you just feel like there's a shadow, let's be encouraged. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, let's walk out of the shadow and into the light. And sometimes that's actually just a pretty simple reposition. Sometimes that's just a change of mindset. Sometimes that's saying, I am actually going to move out of the influence of certain conversations, or I'm going to move out of the influence of certain types of thinking, or I'm even going to move out of the influence of certain relationships or scenarios or situations, and I am going to move myself out of the shadow and into the light. And my question is this morning, what do you need to do? What are some of the things that perhaps you need to do in 2023 to make sure that we don't live 2023 in the shadow? That we actually are people that live in the light. No matter where you are or what you're going through, the light of Jesus continues to shine and it will not be overcome. People sort of have a bit of an inborn fear towards death and darkness, don't they? It's interesting, you see it with our kids. Sometimes one of them particularly, I get up in the morning and you know, we've put him to bed, and once he's gone to sleep, you know, you've turned the lights off, and you know, you've sort of left the safety light on in the hallway, and you get up in the morning and all of a sudden the light on his room is he's asleep, but the light on his room is blaring brightly. Somewhere in the night he woke up and was a little bit fearful of the darkness, so he's turned the light on. And kids do that all the time. There's this innate sense that we have a fear of the dark. And I've met, you know, lots of conversations, and somebody who's feeling sort of insecurity and things going on in their life often has a heightened fear of the dark. So in 2023, it might feel like there's some darkness around, but we are called to live in the light. We are called, you know, there's so many songs about walking in the light, living in the light, all those songs, you know, some of them cool, some of them daggy, whatever. But there's all that stuff about living in the light, and we are called to live in the light. So to live in the light in 2023, and as we unpack things in coming weeks, as we move to our Vision Sunday, as we actually project forward for the year and the decade ahead, I'm going to be talking a lot, and we're going to be understanding what it means to be people of the light. What does it mean to actually live in the light? What does it mean to declare the light? What does it mean to be a lighthouse church? And I just want to start some of this. And, you know, I shared, many of you were with us at our All In night last week, and I shared some thoughts around the light there. But in 2023, what does it mean to live in the light? And it said, the life was the light of men. And this life is the light of men. It's sort of speaking spiritually and naturally. I don't know about you, but as we discover, you know, more about space and more about all the things that are out there, and we, you know, understand, we actually get a bit of a picture about how finely tuned the universe is. And those that study this stuff and are into it in a big way, you know, praise God for them. But you know, some of them, you know, have a fear that, you know, that one day, you know, we're gonna get a massive meteor or something, and it might hit the Earth, or we'll get something else that could hit the sun, and all of a sudden, life could be gone just like that. And we understand that if something happened to our sun, and you know, any of you know a little bit about space and the universe and the cosmos and all those things, you actually know that there are a whole lot of stars out there that were once like our sun, but they've actually blown up. In other words, they don't have an infinite lifespan. They disappear at some point. And scientists tell us that there's, you know, millions of years before our sun would do that in the natural, but then they come in with this scary stuff and tell us, well, anything could happen at any time. The thing is, we do not need to worry. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, the Word was with God, and that Word was life and light to all men. In other words, He has life, He is light. In other words, He sustains the balance of this universe. However much you know about science, there'll be people here, you know, that you know so much about it. But the reality is, it is finely tuned, it is finely balanced, and Jesus Himself actually holds it in balance, so He is life and He is light. If it wasn't for a creator God, if it wasn't for a God who is actually able to hold those things in balance no matter what, we would not have life and light. And I'm not cutting against any science or anything that you might have studied and understood. I just happen to know that what I see is that for it to sustain us, there has to be a balance that has been put in place to keep it all there. All right, to live in the light in 2023, I think number one, you've got to know the light. You've got to know the light. And, you know, there can be light that's obvious, but do you know the light? It isn't that the Word contains life and light. Sometimes it says, you know, in Him was life and light. In other words, it's like Jesus, God Himself, the Word actually contains life and light. Well, in a sense, that is true. But even more powerful than that, He actually is life and light. Without Him, there is no life and there is no light. Have you ever noticed the difference between natural light and artificial light? And I've shared this analogy a lot, but you know, you're trying to, probably because of some of my background, you're trying to repair something, you're trying to fix something. You know what the sad thing is? It just gets worse as you get older. Your eyes don't work as well. And all of a sudden, first thing I noticed, right back when I was an auto electrician, and I happened to have one of the guys that worked with me, who worked for me in those times, had been through training with me. He'd been through TAFE, or tech as we called it then, when we were doing our apprenticeship. So, you know, we were right the same age. And we both noticed right at the same time that it took us longer to read things. And at that point, we were perhaps in our mid to late 30s. But all of a sudden, where you could just pick up something and, you know, rub a bit of dirt off it, and you could read the part number on it or whatever you were looking for, and you would do it in a shot just like that. All of a sudden, he and I were suddenly turning these things into the light. Or we'd be in the workshop, and if we could, we'd actually walk outside from the artificial light into the natural light so that you could actually see it much easier, because your eyes just take a little bit longer to adjust. And there is a huge difference between artificial light and natural light. You know, who knows that when you put a skylight in your house or something like that, it just brings this incredible light and presence. And Pastor Greg Jones, bless him, but he was very excited about these artificial skylights. Now how they work is that basically they're an LED light, and then there's basically a solar panel that sits on the roof, and you sit them in your toilet or somewhere where it's very hard to get natural light, and you just sit them in there, and rather than having to link the things up, there's a solar panel on the roof, and there's this LED light in the space, and Greg thought these things were wonderful, and yeah, I guess they are, but. The thing is, don't tell Pastor Greg, but they had nothing on a real skylight. You know, they didn't bring the same presence that the real light would bring. In our hallway, in our house, we've got sort of two stories and quite a high ceiling there. And there's a big skylight in that space. And it actually brings this incredible natural light. It's always light. It's easy to see in that space. And, you know, I went around the house a while back and I changed all our lighting over to new LED down lights. And, you know, they've got three different settings. You know, you can have them, a couple of them have got all programmed when you do anything you like, and Alex hates them. But the others have got, you know, they've got, you know, warm white, cool white, and what's the other one? Something else. Anyway, but they've got three different settings, but none of them quite feel right. Have you ever noticed that? Oh, that's very stark. Yeah, I can see, but oh, gee, it's a bit confronting. Oh, I'm going to get the warm white on, and it just doesn't feel quite as warm as the real light. And actually, nothing feels quite as good as those old acoustic, what we called incandescent bulbs. In other words, a filament burning away, burning up lots of power and giving off heat, but it gives a nicer light. There is something about the natural light. And I think if we want to walk in the light, we've got to know the difference between artificial light and the real light. And I think sometimes we get sold a dummy, we get distracted, we get confused because we don't know the light. And we find ourselves being led and guided by what is artificial light. And it's not the real truth, it's like the truth. It's like Pastor Greg's skylight. You know, it lights up the room, but it doesn't quite feel the same. It doesn't have the same presence. And the way to do that is actually to know the light, to know who Jesus is, to understand him. If the more that we know the light, the more that you know the difference between the real light, the light that is the light of the world, and we're actually told that the enemy, the devil, what does he do? He masquerades as an angel of light. In other words, he will try and ride into a situation sounding like he's all good, he's all moral, he's got all the answers, but there is a twist of deception in that will lead people astray. And how do we know the difference? Well, we've actually got to know the real light. The more we know the real light, the more that you spot the difference. Jesus is the light. Make sure he is not just the light, but make sure he is your light. All right, to live in the light in 2023, this is a biggie. This is what Hobart needs. This is what our region needs. This is what our nation needs. It actually needs us to be confident that the darkness cannot overcome the light. The darkness cannot overcome the light. What do your friends need when they're going through a huge battle? What does your friend need when they're going through a marriage breakup? What do your kids need when they're confused about all sorts of things as they go through school? They need you to be confident that you are in the light. They need you to be confident that this darkness, these problems, yes, they'll be there, they'll be all around, but they will not overcome them. The King James Version says, "And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." And when you first look at that, you think, oh, well, gee, the darkness didn't understand it. It couldn't work it out. And that might be true. But But basically, the translation that they originally used for the Greek verb, they didn't really have a good English word for it, and they ended up using that word in the King James called comprehend. And basically it's the idea of laying hold or taking hold of something and making it your own. So taking hold of something and making your own. You know, often we'll pick something up. If you're at somebody else's house, you know, you'll pick up their cutlery, their bowls, or whatever else is in the house that you're using, but you're just picking it up, and hopefully you're not making it your own. You know, hopefully you're not walking out of the house with the cutlery and the bowls stuffed in your pocket. Or when you borrow somebody's lawnmower, you know, hopefully you do return it to them rather than laying hold of it and making it your own. So basically this is what it meant. It meant to actually take hold of something, not just, oh, I'm not just borrowing this, I'm not just using it for a while, I'm not just having it while somebody says I can. It's like it was to actually grab hold of it and make it your own. So basically the later versions of this were actually more accurate in the sense when they read that to overcome. In other words, the light shined in the darkness, and there was no way the darkness could overcome it because the darkness was completely owned by the light. And see, when you own something as opposed to borrowing something, you have more authority over that, don't you? So like if I ring up Richie and say, look, Richie, can I borrow some of your tools? And he might think, oh, that's annoying, but he might lend them to me anyway. But then Dad's doing a job and he rings me up and I say, yeah, it's no worries, I've got tools here. You can have Richie's tools. Now this stuff actually happens, doesn't it? But yeah. But you see then, what I've done there, I didn't actually have the authority. I didn't have the authority to lend Dad Richie's tools. But if Dad had gone straight to Richie, he actually owns them and he actually has the authority to lend them to him and give them to him. And I think some of the problem is we're often trying to help people, we're often trying to bring light into the darkness, and we haven't actually owned it in such a way that we've laid hold of it and we've made it ours. And when you actually own something, you have authority. So we can actually come into situations and you can speak to something, and sometimes, you know, directly, other times, more often than not, it's actually taking authority in the Spirit and saying, I actually take authority over this darkness because there is victory over this darkness because Jesus Christ is the light and he actually owns this and he has given me authority to speak to that. So as you speak to the darkness, you actually own that darkness and you bring about change. You see, it's about authority. There is authority in ownership. Romans 8:37 and 39 says, no, in all these things, you know this verse, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor powers, neither height nor depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. You know, you have already won in Christ. And I say this lots, and I'll say it again. You are not fighting for victory if you're in Jesus Christ. If he is your Lord and he is your Savior, he is your life, he is your light, you're not fighting for victory, you're fighting from victory. You actually have, and there's a big difference in that. When you're fighting from victory, you go into that place with authority because you know that the battle's been won and you've got that authority. Nothing is able to separate you from the light. Right back at the beginning of the Bible, and I talked about this the other night, Genesis 1 verse 3, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and then he separated the light from the darkness, and he called the light day and the darkness night, and evening passed and morning came, marking the first day. It's interesting, isn't it? If you read that a bit more, you know, you read that the earth was formless and void. In other words, it was just a big lot of nothing. And then I love the way it reads, because it gives us the incredible picture. And then it says the Spirit of God was hovering over the water. Wow. We need the Spirit of God hovering over our situation. We need the Spirit of God hovering over the darkness that we see in our city. We need the Spirit of God hovering over situations. And he's not out there. He's present. And then he speaks. His voice comes into that situation. He says, let there be light. You see, his presence through his voice brings light, goodness and order. The voice of God through his presence brings light, goodness and order. Anyone felt like their life's a bit out of control sometimes? I do regularly. We've got kids. Trying to get to church this morning, and I'm just wait. I've got to get to the next stage. I've just got to finish this. And I'm feeling a little out of control. Because it's not happening the way I want it to happen. Can't we just get in the car and go to church? And those things happen all the time, aren't they? That's just a little thing. And then you have got bigger things. We need his presence. Because in the chaos, in the confusion, the presence of God brings light, it brings goodness, and it brings order. And if there's stuff going on in your world where you think, oh, there's no order, I want to encourage you, get to know the light. Go after the presence of God. And his voice will speak. His voice actually will come into your situation, into your world, and it will actually bring light, it will bring goodness, and it will bring order. See, in the first creation, and when I say the first creation, there was a second, or the new creation was what Jesus did on the cross. But in the first creation, it's, you know, darkness was upon the face of the deep, as the King James Version says, until God called light into being. So the new creation, that actually, what did that do? It involves banishing spiritual darkness by the light that shines through the Word. The new creation or new covenant or what we live in, it actually involves the banishing of the darkness through the light which shines through the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with... Sorry, I'll start that again because I got it in the wrong order. See, the presence of God brings order. Need your presence, Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made, and without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome. So to live in the light in 2023, I think we've got to decide we're going to bring the word into the darkness. Bring the word into the darkness. And this is both practical and perhaps a bit ethereal. Bring the word into the darkness. You're going through a tough situation. Yeah, things feel like they're out of control in your world. There feels like there's a lack of order. What do you do? What can you do practically? Bring the word into the darkness. Go to the written word of God and find out what it says about your situation and actually bring that word into that situation. Spiritually, you bring the authority of Jesus into that situation. You actually take that authority that you've been given into him and you speak it into that situation. You know, like I speak your love. I speak your goodness. I speak your life. With the authority you've given me, Lord, I speak that over my family. I speak that over my workplace. I speak that over my city. And you actually are bringing light into the darkness as you do that. You actually bring the word into the darkness. So I'm actually talking about the Word, which is Jesus Christ, which is God himself. And I am talking about the written Word, which actually comes to life through the Spirit of God, which actually it's like living and breathing and sharper than a two-edged sword when you actually bring that into your scenarios. It's amazing. You see, we can say all sorts of fancy things. We can sound good. We can sound like we're clever. What did Jesus do? What did the Word himself do in human form when he was confronted with the Prince of Darkness? He brought the Word. Every time he was tempted, every time he was brought through those big temptations that we all face as people. When he was hungry, when he had nothing left, when it was like, I can't go on. He actually goes back to the Word. He doesn't say, just, oh, get out of here. I know I've been given authority over this. He goes actually back to the written Word that has power and authority. He says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. When he was made the offer for fame, come on, Prince of Darkness speaks to his ego. Isn't that amazing that Jesus, that we think he was so humble and he had everything right, but he had to battle the same thing that we battle with his ego. And he takes him up. I don't quite know how they did it, but he takes him up to the top of the temple. And he says, "Hey, come on, why don't you jump off there?" Why don't you parasail down there? Because the Prince of Darkness knew the Word. He knew that no bone would be broken. He knew that nothing would happen to him. He knew that he would just come down. And everybody would go, wow. And he answers again in the Word, don't put the Lord your God to the test. He used the power of the Word. And again, when he was offered the whole world, in 2023, we need to bring the Word into the darkness. Even in your workplace, you don't need to be going around quoting the King James. But actually, when you're speaking the principles of life and light into that situation, you'll be amazed at what happens. Jesus is the Word. The Word is God. The Word is in us. See, when you go into those situations, you're taking the Word in there. Later, Jesus says to his followers, and I talked about this at our All In night, and I will unpack it over the next few weeks. But he said to his followers, he said, I don't. You don't have to try and be light. You're not battling to be light. He said, you are light. Because I am light and I am in you, so you are light. You are the light of the world. You see, as you walk through and beyond the shadows, you are light. Now get this, I think as we take the light into our city, just understand this. If we go with a sense of humility, if we go with Jesus in us, there is a sense where you actually bring the light of Christ into those places where it is actually where the light has actually been blocked by deception, truth has been shut out. As you walk into those spaces, you have the Spirit of God in you. You have the light of Christ inside you. You bring light into that situation just by you being your very presence. Let's be confident about that. Let's keep walking. The presence of God through the written word, through the Bible, through His Holy Spirit is within us. Through the victory of the cross that resulted in a new creation, in a new order. So I'll summarise as I finish this morning and the team can join me. But I want to encourage us, and I think this is the real practical stuff that we need to get hold of this year. If we want to walk in the light, In 2023, if we want to be light, well, it's so much. We understand that when we read, when we read Genesis, when we get the recap and that amazing teaching that John brings us, that the Word is light. Come on. Read the Word. Read the Word. Read the Word. Heard this amazing message a few years back at one of our national ACC conferences. And Pastor Alan Davies, he shared and he talked about over the years, he said one of the sad things that he's had to do so many times is sit with pastors that have mucked up, where things have gone awry morally or something like that. And over the years, he said, I would ask this question in obviously in different ways in different situations, but he'd say, look, I'm just curious. How long since you opened the Word and really felt the presence of God as you opened the Word? And mostly in this situation, people were probably past putting up fronts and arguing and quite honest. And mostly they would say, I can't remember. I can't remember. Because that stuff just creeps up on us, doesn't it? If we're going to be light in 2023, we've got to read the Word. And what do we expect? And go after the tangible presence of God as we open the Word of God. We're going to understand the Word. Both understand the written Word, the teachings, but we've also got to understand who the Word is. We've got to understand who Christ is. I think sometimes as Christians we sort of get this idea he's this or he's that. He's gentle Jesus, meek and mild. But we don't understand the authority that he has. Or the other way, we see him as all authority and we don't understand his love and his compassion. We don't understand how far he will go to restore each one of us. we forget that there was no end to what he would do to reach you wherever you are. We've got to know the word. Know the word. Understand the word. Understand who he is. Understand the teaching of the written word. We've got to trust the word. Trust the word. Trust the word. Are there verses in the Bible that it would be more convenient if they weren't there? I think we're finding that a fair bit at the moment. Wouldn't it be good if Paul didn't just write that bit? Wouldn't it be good if it didn't say that? We understand the context of it. The reality is it's all there for a reason, and we actually need to trust it. I'm not talking about just not understanding why it's there. I'm not talking about not understanding the context of difficult things, but to be able to trust the word. To trust that the word will remain current, the word will remain truth, the word will remain life, the word will remain right up to date in any situation you face in 2023. And I actually firmly believe this, that the more pressure that actually comes against the truth of the word, the stronger the word will actually stand against that opposition and in that opposition. We don't have to fear that. We don't have to start to think we've got to be other people. We just need to trust the word. When Jesus speaks to you, when he makes a promise to you, trust the word. Trust his character. He has not brought you this far to let you fall. What he has begun in you, he will see through to completion. Let's trust the word. Can we stand? Come on, in 2023, let's bring the word into the darkness. Let's be confident that the darkness cannot and will not overcome you. Let's absolutely, let's make sure one of the things that we make as an absolute priority this year is that we're going to know the light. We're going to know the word. We're going to know Jesus. We're going to know the written word. We're going to understand him more and more. We're going to get a greater depth to who he is and what he wants to do in us. I get a sense the more we do that, that you can actually stand against whatever is going on and, you know, confidently say, I will not be shaken. I will not be shaken. Come on, let's praise our God. And I believe right now that there's a sense of him wanting to shine light into your world and into situations. There's somebody here this morning and you're feeling like things are a little dark in your world right now. And I'm believing right now as we worship that there is a sense of the light of Christ coming into that situation. Where there has been confusion, things are going to start to make sense as you press into him. Come on, let's choose to do that as we worship right now. And let's believe that the light will shine.
Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. And I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise.
let me make what we've been singing about right now really real.